Well, good morning, everybody. I must confess that I'm still feeling under the weather, so is the household, so I do covet your prayers. Jody hasn't slept for about 4 days. Even last night, she was coughing and in her good self got up so she wouldn't wake me. And I'm not feeling too good. We've had one out of school for a couple of days. So please pray for us as a family that God will bring healing. Also, for next week, I just want to also add to what we're doing next week. Pastor Allen in Emmanuel Church has invited us as a church to share in the ordination of the deacons that they have. We're trying to establish some kind of relationship, a bit of a stronger bond, so we can call each other sister churches. So I encourage you to come along. He told me that the way that he wants to do the part of the service is that we're both going to preach. So I'm going to preach the first half, and he's going to preach the second half. And he said to me, "You can preach for 15 minutes." And I said, "Okay." Funny that, because on the 8th of October he'll be preaching here, and I told him he can preach however long he wants. So I'm not sure how that works. Having said that, there's something else to be in prayer for. And speaking of preaching, how about we read God's word? I encourage you now to open up God's word in Matthew 4, verses 23. I'll read to 5:1. This is God's word. "And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. Great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him." The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, please, I ask that you heal me, that you help me go through this sermon. You know, my mind, the headaches, Lord, everyone pretty much in this state is going through this flu thing. So I am not special. What is special is your word. I ask that your word will somehow be clear when the preacher is not. So Spirit, we believe in you. Please help us to see great and wondrous things in your word. And Jesus, give us more of yourself. Let us know you, and not just know you, but intimately know you, a relationship with you. And that comes from the reading of your word and fellowship and prayer, and by that great work of your Spirit in our lives. Do that for us today, Lord. We ask it with no greater aim than to bring greater glory back to you. In your name I pray, Jesus. I need your help. Amen. Separate things can belong inseparably together. Consider pizza, for instance. That's the food staple of life. Then consider something completely separate, which may seem completely unrelated, anchovies. Yet bring them together and you will find two separate things can belong inseparably together. By themselves, they are separate things. Together, a symphony in the mouth. Speaking of which, what about the violin? Separate the tuba with the clarinet, the trombone, the drums, string, woodwind, brass, and percussion instruments. They can sound beautiful solo. However, bring these separate instruments together, you have something greater, something more. You have an orchestra. When the music is played from these combined separate instruments, then the result is the symphony. The symphony is not the instruments, nor the musicians. It's the music. Good by themselves, but together is something altogether different. Not unrelated, but expanded. It's encapsulating. It's with greater meaning or more depth. Consider man and woman. Woman by herself, separated from man, and she may accomplish many great things, and likewise the man. Yet it is not good for man to be alone. Therefore, bring two separate things inseparably together, bring man and unite him inseparably with woman, and you have greater meaning to the relationship, more depth, you have marriage. Man is not marriage, nor is woman, but together there is marriage. Bringing man and woman together to form a marriage fulfills the intended creation purpose for man and woman. Any husband will tell you, that woman is not only separate, she's a strange creature. So you have men are from Mars and women are from Venus. They seem completely separate things, yet the relationship for its intended purposes make them inseparable, because marriage proceeds from the other two. You see, the reason why it is not good for man to be alone is that a helper is needed to complete man. It doesn't diminish him, but completes the intended purpose for humanity, unity, wholeness. It displays something greater than a separate man or a woman. The Bible says in Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." I wonder if you've seen that before. Something in the man and the woman together reflects God. Something in the uniting of both reveals something more, greater in meaning. When we examine the relationship of how separate things can belong inseparably together, we're going to see more depth than just seeing separate things. And such is the gospel and healing. You may read this passage, "Hear now the word of God," in verse 23 of chapter 4. "And he," Jesus, "went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people." And look at the teaching and preaching ministry of Jesus as separate to his acts of healing. You can see it is separate there. Jesus is teaching the synagogues and proclaiming the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. And then we learn that Jesus is now healing disease and affliction. It sounds separate. You know, we may marvel at these two separate abilities of Jesus. We may marvel at his unmatched wisdom to teach and his incomparable power to heal. But when you see things like the gospel and healing belong together as inseparable acts of God through Jesus, you will see there is greater meaning and more depth than if we were just to keep the gospel of preaching of Jesus separate from his healing. You see, the gospel message by itself is glorious. And the act of healing by itself is wonderful. But when the gospel message brings a result of healing, that's music. That's a symphony. And you may wonder how. Well, when the gospel is preached and its results produce healing, that is called redemption. At the outset, I have to clarify before I go on that the connection between the preaching of the gospel and healing of Jesus here, it's not prescriptive, as though What we have to learn from here is that this is what we are to expect from our own preaching today. No, what Jesus demonstrates by connecting the gospel and healing is symbolic. It was real. He actually did heal people, but nevertheless, it was symbolic. The gospel ministry of Jesus is connected to the healing of people as a shadow. The healing of Jesus and his preaching together is pointing to something. It's a metaphor. Jesus is beginning to live out a real life parable of how the gospel message heals the souls of men and women. The proclamation of the gospel restores the person to the intended purpose of God. So Jesus preaches the gospel and he heals to symbolize that the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom has results, and the results of the gospel is healing. The healing that Jesus provides in his power is physical here, but the gospel is a message that affects the soul. Jesus is enacting this point. He's living that out. Like he's saying, I have the power to heal your every disease and affliction. I also have the power to heal your soul. And the manner of which you receive healing for your souls is of believing the gospel. You see, what Matthew is doing in these short verses here is preparing us to see when two separate things belong together, the gospel and healing, that there is greater meaning, more depth than if we just consider them as separate. The message that we need to understand as we start to learn more about Jesus and see him through his word is that the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ restores a person to wholeness. The gospel of Jesus, it heals. The gospel, when preached, it does result in the restoring of man's relationship with God. It heals the most important relationship, and that is that man and woman must have with their Creator. In other words, what we see is that the gospel message plus healing results in redemption, in salvation. The gospel, or the good news, is inseparable to the restoration of humans. I'm going to just pause there because I really want to appropriate this. We have long held and just emphasized the cross work of Christ saves our sins. Amen. And there is a propitiation, the removal of God's wrath from us who are sinners. And it also acts as redemption and payment. But there's a transformative work in that. When God takes your sin from you, it's not just a declaration forensically. It's not merely justified. It is acquitted. Now be transformed. There must come some healing. There must come some restoration. And I think this is how we introduce ourselves to our Lord Jesus as he begins his ministry. Look how this plays out in verse 23. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So Jesus grows up in a village of Nazareth. And then as he gets older, he goes and he matures, he goes and gets himself a little home in the northern coastal town of Capernaum. In Matthew 14, that's where we read it, leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. Then Jesus begins preaching. So he's in Capernaum at the north of Galilee, and his ministry begins, and it's a simple message in Matthew 4:17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's a reductionistic way of his sermon. It's just saying his whole sermon revolved around this, repentance. And the kingdom of heaven is here. Then one day as Jesus walks by the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he encounters some fishermen, and he calls them to be part of his mission. He says to them and to all his followers, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So now we see Jesus is beginning to expand his, not only his ministry with disciples, but expand his mission field, not just to the small fishing villages, but as verse 23 says, and he went throughout all Galilee. And he's not only an open-air preacher, but now entering the synagogue, verse 23, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues. With his teaching in the synagogues, Matthew tells us that Jesus is also, in that verse, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and coupled there and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. What we need to see here about Jesus is not that he's merely a teacher. You need to know this. And he's not merely a preacher or a healer, but his teaching and his preaching is expressing some healing. And his healing is founded upon what the proclamation of the gospel message is. In other words, what is the result of answering the call of the gospel, you have to ask? What is the purpose? You see, if Matthew is telling us the purpose by Jesus living out this parable. What does it mean to enter the kingdom of heaven? The answer is to look to Jesus as the Son of God and follow him. And it's not merely to follow a path. Okay, well, I'm just following Jesus. I just keep going in a direction that the Bible tells me to go, to a heavenly place. But it's also to have our hearts and our souls and our very person restored, to be made whole again, redeemed. It's to be liberated from our broken souls. It's to be healed, you see. The gospel of the kingdom is the good news of the rule of Jesus. And the rule of Jesus is not merely over the kingdom, but his rule over our souls and the rule over everything that afflicts us. He is the rule of even our souls. This is the message in declaration that God our Creator has. Can you see that God the Creator has touched down on this earth that he created? He's lived upon it. He's dwelt among us. He communed with us. It's a message of good news, and it's not one-dimensional. I'm exercised in trying to see and trying to impress upon you there is more to the redemption of Jesus than forensic justification, like a courtroom saying, justified. That is part of it, and part of redemption is liberation from sin, transformation, to be made whole, restored. It's multifaceted. Ultimately, you know what Jesus is doing? If you think Jesus is merely just saving you from your sins, you've missed out on the gospel, the true whole gospel. You know what Jesus is doing? He's restoring a broken relationship with you and me and our Creator. That's what he's doing. The message that was proclaimed in the very beginning about who Jesus was and who he would be was told by an angel, and it said his name will be Jesus. In the original means Yeshua. Yahweh saves. Yahweh is the name of God. It says that even Jesus, he will be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us, with you. You know, the last time God was with anyone was when man was sinless in the Garden of Eden. It was a time when man was not only sinless, but he was pure, he was whole. That's the last time that God was in perfect relationship with a human. He considered man and woman good even. There was no disease and there was no affliction upon them. However, since that time of Adam that he rebelled against God, that he introduced sin into his heart and also invited sin into the world, it's since that time that sin then it's infected the rest of humanity. Sin has corrupted the purity of every human in this hall. Everyone that has ever lived has been corrupted by impurity, by sin. And that sin within every human being is in our very essence. It starts to cause us to decay. That decay in our lives is what then we call disease and sickness. You see, sickness and disease is not something separate from sin. Sin brought into perfect humans is then revealed or manifested disease, decay, corruption. And it's unnatural because man was made and created to live forever. And yet now that sin that occupies all our lives is the decay that brings us to our death. And so since the fall of man with Adam and Eve, every single man and woman has had in their heart this separation from God, this void that we're trying to fill in to try and make it better. But we were created for God, but we can't get to Him. And in the same process, our souls keep yearning to fix that relationship, to somehow strive to make it better. Listen to what Romans 8:22 says. For we know that the whole creation, put your thinking caps on just to understand what this world is about. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. You know what that means? That means that creation itself is just, it pains them because they're not really whole. You just, humans, you know, you just can't put your finger on it. You strive for money, fame, and fortune, and you accumulate, and you're just never really satisfied. And there's just this constant urge to want something, to crave something. That's the problem with their separation, or the lack of separation we have with God. Verse 23, it says of Romans 8, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, it says, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. You and me, those who believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, your soul, even now, is craving to meet Messiah. But at the same time, you're wanting to be adopted as a son of God. But did you read that? You're wanting the redemption of your body. It doesn't say soul. See, we're groaning because there's something in our very bodily existence that we want repaired. And we're yearning. We're groaning to have this redemption healed. You know what the word for redemption means? Many of us understand it rightly, as a payment for something or someone. It's true. But have you ever considered what the after effects are to redemption? You know what happens after redemption? What are the effects? You know what the effects of redemption? It's liberation. Redemption is to be set free. Free to do whatever you want? No. It's a focus on you are freed, concentrate, redeemed, separated from the enslavement to sin. The body is freed from that. It is to be bought back. It's trying to tell us to receive once again the bodies God intended us to possess. So you see, with that little excursus, when Jesus comes to this earth, Matthew says it's the fulfillment of what God set to do to rectify the wholeness of man and restore man to his good state by shining light onto a path that leads to life. You see that the people and we are broken, and we're broken because of sin and that sin manifests itself through disease, sickness, affliction, corruption, decay. But we know there's a we've got to fix that, but we don't know how to fix it. So that is the groaning. And Jesus now comes. He's come and he starts healing everybody. Matthew says Jesus has come. Well, Matthew says those that they have come beyond the Jordan. He had previously said to Galilee of the Gentiles, to a people who were not Jews. Matthew says in 4:16, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. So Jesus is this light that is showering upon them and exposing darkness, a world that by themselves can't find the way to God. Jesus is bringing us back to relationship with God, and he does it through preaching the gospel, and there's something that comes with it, the healing part, the restoration. Jesus draws on a people who just can't make their own way to God, and they're groaning, they want this. That is why there's always such a demand for healing. Sure, you know why? Because it's unnatural to feel pain. If we thought pain was actually natural, we would want to be sick. Are you healthy today? Man, why do you want to be healthy? That's so unnatural. You want to be sick. That's natural. That's not what happens. You get sick, I get a sniffle, I get the most dangerous man flu ever, which I currently have, and you know what I want? I want healing. I want to go back to where I was. And when the whole world finds out there's a dude right now that's healing everybody, everyone wants some of that. And they're flocking to him. It's inside us, you see. And Jesus is showing us something more. He's preaching a gospel and he's healing. It's like he's trying to restore humans or reset humans or renew humans to be without disease, without affliction, without death. So when Jesus begins teaching and proclaiming the message of the gospel and healing diseases, Jesus is demonstrating these separate works. Gospel, healing, are inseparable to the gospel. And that is a symbol of redemption. The gospel is an invitation to return to God. It's the proclamation that a Savior has arrived. It is the power. The gospel is the power that forms repentance and exposes sin. Jesus is healing because he's showing I have the power as God to heal. The gospel is also liberation. It frees them from disease. Taking upon the gospel, appropriating the gospel, then restores our souls into right relationship with God. The gospel is the light that shows us God in Jesus, who has brought us healing to our souls. I am impressing upon you the same theme three times now, if you didn't notice, to get you to prepare to hear Jesus as he goes forward, and because he's going to start doing a lot of healing, and you must know that he is showing the world it's not just about making you see if you're blind. It's not just healing your deafness. It's not about giving you a new fresh set of legs. There's more. It's deeper. Jesus is reversing the effects of sin, restoring us, symbolizing that there needs to be a cleansing and a healing to have a right relationship with the Creator. And this is for the whole world. So he begins. We know that Jesus came to the Jew first, the Israelite. He calls his first followers from the Jewish nation. He tells them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But the good news of Jesus is now uncontainable now. As we learn that Jesus was teaching in the Jerusalem churches or the synagogue, the news of Jesus has now spread out beyond the world. Verse 24 says, so his fame spread throughout all Syria. The news of someone special has reached the ears of the world. So look what it says. So, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, and those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics. And look at that, what it says. He says, and he healed them. People want to be healed. These sickness, they want to be healed from controlling evil forces, and they do exist. To be sick and controlled by an evil force, that's not natural. It's not what God created humans to be. That leads sin, to sickness, leads to decay, leads to death. Can you see what sin does to the person? It destroys. It degenerates. Sin leads to death, which is the converse of God, who is eternal, infinite in life, the giver of life. He didn't bring us to life, so then we would die. It's all unnatural, and Jesus has come now, doing something miraculous. Now, for the rest of this sermon, as I keep my head together, let's see how I go. But what do you find fascinating in this passage? The flocks of people from all different parts of the world are sick. You know, the disease has spread so far. The sickness is found in all walks of life. They hear of Jesus, the healer, and they come from Syria. Look at verse 25. Great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, which is a 10-city region, from Jerusalem, Judea, from beyond the Jordan. Oh, yeah, the effects of sin, it is to sicken, and the effects of sin is producing the decay of the body. It spread to all the world. What else do you find fascinating then, verse 24? That sin has evolved to such degrees that the decay of humanity is found in, you know, various diseases, not just one. Sin is made up of one act and manifested in so many different ways. So rebellion, the moment of rebellion against the Lord and only God, Yahweh, the Lord, this rebellion, sin, causes the whole world to become sick, unhealthy, corrupt. You know, we even, speaking of bugs, well, we even call computer problems bugs. Sin is a bug that is a defect, a flaw. Sin is a disease that causes pain, in so many various ways. Again, counter distinction to the ways of God, being purity, creation, growth, fruitfulness, multiplicity, feeling and flourishing. What else do you see? Live the moment. Think about it. What if you're a Syrian from another place in the Jordan, and your child is now sick with fever? And with no penicillin and there's no paracetamol. You know, in fact, some of your relatives have just died from the fever. To have a fever was pretty much life and death. So you hear of this miracle worker, Jesus. Jesus is the name. He heals the sick and all these various diseases. What do you do? What do you do? You rug up your child. Let's go to Jesus. You rug up your child. You place her on the donkey that you borrowed from your rich neighbor. And you begin to the long 2 or 3 day walk, praying to the moon goddess, and that she will guide you to this man. You arrive, and there is this multitude of people who have beaten you to him. The line is like 500 meters long, and you get in the line to see Jesus. And after a few hours, you look behind, and then the line now is stretching beyond the horizon. There's a multitude of people everywhere. And then you finally see him, and there he is, and you're immediately deflated. You know why? Because it's a Hebrew. He's just a Jew, a black man maybe. He has no form or majesty that you should look at him, and no beauty that anyone would desire him. He looks like a man of sorrows, like he's acquainted with grief. Is this man to bear my griefs, to carry my sorrows? Is he going to bring me peace? Will this man heal my sorrow, my child? And then finally says, what would you like me to do for you? You see, and his words pierce your soul. And you're arrested in that moment. and his words, "What would you like for me to do for you?" are ricocheting off the walls of your empty heart. You've forgotten why you've come. A force won't allow you to even open your mouth. There are no words. You can't even look him in the eyes. Your knees have begun to shake. He has captivated your soul. You manage to push the donkey in front of you. And he knows you're gazing at the ground and you're just about bowing. Jesus reaches over. You can feel his compassion. His love is attacking you and your senses, and you're buckled. You hold your breath and your heart questions, "Will this man heal my child?" And as soon as he touches her, she's made well, she's healed. And you're in disbelief. And the first words that you speak in your mind is, "What power is this?" You didn't trek all this way because you believed in the man. There just were no more measures of hope. You came because you were desperate. And desperate times require desperate measures. And Jesus held your sick and dying daughter. Now she's healed, she will live. See Jesus? See his power? Jesus can heal anyone at any time. Whomever he wishes, because Jesus is God. Live that moment a little more, a little longer. You know what fascinates me as I'm reading this? That nowhere does Matthew say that Jesus depended on the faith to heal. Where is it? Jesus did not ask the people, the crowds, about faith. Jesus didn't ask for testimony. Jesus healed all of them. And they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, even those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and the paralytics, the people that can't even walk, and he healed them. The healing power of Jesus did not depend on their belief, their faith. Listen now, because it's very nuanced what I'm saying. The healing power of Jesus did not and does not depend on their belief and their faith. Because Jesus is the healer. Because Jesus is the creator. And our faith does not control his power. Jesus is the healer because Jesus has come to reverse the effects of sin. The power of Jesus is able. The power of Jesus is capable of healing every sickness, every disease, every affliction in this world. Jesus can physically heal anyone, for his power is limitless, because Jesus is the sovereign. Don't you see that this is about Jesus and his power? This is about who Jesus is. This is about what he's doing. He's reversing the effects of sin, of evil, to renew, to restore, to heal. Let us not make this about ourselves and say, "Look at the faith of these people." For faith is yet to be spoken of by Matthew. Matthew wants us to see the power and who this Jesus is. Matthew wants us to see the love of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, to understand that until this point in time and forevermore in the life of man, that the only person who could heal anyone at will is and always will be by the power of God. Because what the Old Testament has always pointed to is that God is the only one who heals. Psalm 41:4 says, "As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you." Jeremiah 17, 14, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. The Old Testament always points us to show that the man or woman asks for God to heal them, and the healing is always paralleled with salvation. In the midst of sin, only God can bring healing. Isaiah 14, 4, I will heal their apostasy. Do you hear that? What's he healing them from? It's not their sickness, it's their I will heal their apostasy, and I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. And now, who is healing? In Matthew 4, who's doing the healing? Jesus. Only God can heal. And Jesus is now at will healing everyone. Jesus can heal anyone from any physical and bodily malady. However, Jesus did not come to be merely a healer of the body. Jesus did not come to heal symptoms. Jesus has come to heal the cause of the symptoms. And that's why Jesus has come to be the healer of our souls. Jesus did not come to give people new bodies by healing disease. Jesus has come to eradicate sin, and in that way we have new bodies for eternal life. The healing of sickness as we go forward is not the end game. In fact, the healing of sickness, the disease, the pain, the freeing from the enslavement of dark forces, from seizures, from useless limbs and paralysis. The purpose of these healings is to demonstrate the power is in Jesus as the revelation of God. Jesus is the incarnation of God as man. And Jesus has come to do more than heal the physical body. He's come to heal the soul. But by now, all we see is that Jesus heals the body. But to heal the body, as we will start seeing, is like placing a band-aid over skin cancer. The melanoma will keep growing. The skin cancer may be covered up, but it will keep growing because its root is deeper than the skin. Let's listen to Jesus a little bit. In Mark 7:21, Jesus said this, from within, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. Beloved, you must get to know this category. All our infirmities, all the sickness, all diseases, all symptoms of something more sinister that is deeper in the person, deeper than skin level. The cancer in humanity lies in the heart of man. It lies in the inner being of man, in the soul. Cancer that is decaying every single human and woman is sin. And Jesus has come to be the sin destroyer. You need to see that Jesus is capable and able and has the power to cure all sin. Because he has the power to cure all sin. All sickness and all sin. It's what makes Jesus the great physician. He says he's come not to call the righteous but sinners. And there is our challenge. If you don't think that you have sin that leads to sickness or disease, or you think that your sickness is just not bad enough to need a doctor, Jesus has not come for you. Jesus, as the physician of the world, has come for those who have confessed they are sinners. And Jesus has come with the power to heal all, But those who won't come to Jesus, who are righteous in their own minds, who will not go to Jesus, and Jesus will not heal their sin, and will not come to Jesus, Jesus will not heal their sin, even though he is capable of doing it. Jesus says he's come for sinners. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. You need to ask yourself, am I a sinner? Has Jesus come for me? Because we're starting to see now that Jesus is capable of healing every sin, every sickness, every disease, paralytics, demon-possessed, everything that has come from sin. He's capable. But will Jesus heal your soul? The healing of Jesus here is pointing us towards the cross, the place where Jesus will accomplish all the healing, will come from what he will do at the cross and what we begin now in chapter 4, leading for the rest of the gospel, leading to the cross. In Matthew 8:16, he says, we read, that evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. All. And it says, this was to fulfill what was spoken of the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Can you see the connection? The healing, Matthew says, is the fulfillment of Jesus taking our illnesses and bearing our diseases. It's leading us to the cross. The healing is to symbolize what Jesus will do at the cross. The gospel of the kingdom of God and the healing of our body and soul are inseparable. For it is in the gospel that offers us life, and in it, in the resurrection life, we shall be forever healed. I'm just wanting to emphasize this as I just finished, to help you see. Jesus' healing is supposed to not only symbolize what he's done on the cross, but how we will be in the future and forevermore healed. Revelations 22:1, when you and I are resurrected and living in a new heavens and new earth, it says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This shall be our final eternal rest, forever healed through the gospel. Just before that says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Matthew prepares us to see that separate things can belong inseparably together, the gospel with healing. However, there is greater meaning and more depth to just physical healing. And this is what we shall see in the person of Jesus Christ going forwards. Allow me to pray. Lord Jesus, help us to see that we all are sick and with disease and we need your healing. Allow us to see that there is a greater cause to our sickness, that the sickness of disease and affliction are but the symptoms of sin. And we all need you to heal us from that. Spirit, move amongst our church. Let us not be those who consider ourselves righteous, but those who are sinners, so that Jesus will come and heal us. To your great name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.